Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures this morning to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. We'll read together the first 23 verses and then skip the next section and read the last five verses of the chapter. The Word of God at Numbers 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried up. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the morning, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? That thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee. And now let's skip down to verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side. 8 to 10 miles, a day's journey, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high. A cubit is 1.5 feet. 3 feet high for a day's journey on either side of the camp. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers. An omer is about 6 bushels. 10 omers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves. They dried them in the sun round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Kibroth Hattaavah means grave of the lusters. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth. There ends our reading of God's holy word this morning. The passage that we read bears on the instruction of Lord's Day 50 with regard to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Let's pray. In humility, Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. The humility of those who do not deserve thy precious word. The humility of one who does not deserve to preach thy word. Look upon us not as we are in ourselves, but look upon us in Christ, our Savior, the one who has provided not only for our daily bread, but for the salvation of our souls. Amen. Lesson 22 of the Beginner's Old Testament History Catechism book is about Daniel and his 3 friends in Babylon. The title of the lesson is, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. The first question in the lesson is, was the Lord with Daniel also when Darius was king? That is, after Nebuchadnezzar. The answer, yes. Darius made him chief ruler of the kingdom. The second question is, how did the other princes show their jealousy? The answer, they tried to find some evil in Daniel. And then, this is the third question. What was the only evil that they could find in him? Answer, that Daniel prayed to his God 3 times every day. That was the evil, the only evil that those jealous princes found in Daniel's life, that Daniel prayed to God 3 times without fail, morning, noon, and evening. That, by the way, is the explanation for Daniel's not succumbing to all of the temptations nor persecutions of Babylon. God's sovereign grace upheld him, but God gave Daniel that grace through prayer. Prayer, regular, fervent, sincere prayer. What about you? What about me? If they spied on you, would Daniel's enemies find that in your life you are committed to pray to God regularly and fervently? Would they find this evil in your life? Would they see that nothing, absolutely nothing, stood in the way of your calling upon God in prayer regularly? And would you be willing to be thrown into a lion's den because you refuse to pray to any man, no matter how great a man he may be, but you insist on praying to God? A lion's den. Would you keep on praying as Daniel did? Would I, by the grace of God, we would. The fourth petition begins the second group of petitions in the Lord's Prayer. You remember that the 6 petitions of the Lord's Prayer are divided into 2 groups. The first 3 petitions, and now this morning we begin the second group of petitions, petitions 4, 5, and 6. There is a change, you will notice, in the language of these petitions, a change in the pronouns. In the first 3 petitions, the pronoun is thy. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. No more thy. Now it's us and our. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. With the fourth petition, the child of God turns now to himself and to his needs. This is the proper order. First God, and then us. First God, God's glory, God's name, God's will, God's kingdom, before our daily bread, the forgiveness of our sins and our deliverance from evil. We exist for God. God does not exist for us. Among the petitions that concern our needs, the petition concerning daily bread comes first. First we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And then we come to the petition for the forgiveness of sins and deliverance from the power of evil. We might wonder about that order. Is not the spiritual forgiveness of sins, deliverance from the power of evil, more important than the physical bread? Daily bread? How in the world can that be first before the spiritual? The explanation is simply that the order is logical and chronological. First, we need bread. Bread in order to live. And then, as those who are alive, living in the midst of this world, an imperfect life, a sinful life, we need the forgiveness of sins and deliverance from the power of evil. If we are dead, no life in us, no need for daily bread, but no need either for the forgiveness of our sins or for deliverance from the power of evil. Logically, the petition for bread comes first. Daily bread. Everything needful for body and soul from our Heavenly Father. I call your attention this morning to praying to Father for bread. Let's notice three things together. First, a petition for bread. In the second place, a petition for bread and blessing. And then finally, a petition confidently made. Our request in the fourth petition is for bread. Literal, physical bread. Bread to sustain our earthly, natural life. The Roman Catholic Church is wrong, completely in error in their official interpretation of the fourth petition. Rome's interpretation of the fourth petition is that what we are praying for is for the sacramental bread of the Roman Catholic Mass. The sacramental bread that has been changed into the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly, that's not the case. Clearly, That's another instance of Rome twisting the word of God in order to sustain its false doctrines and practices. And the proof of it is simply this, that when the Lord Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer to his disciples, when he taught them to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," he had not yet died. He had not yet instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. No. What Jesus is praying for, teaching us to pray for in the fourth petition, is literal earthly bread. Clearly, this is our need. Our need, because of who and what we are and how God has created us. We are earthly creatures, dependent on this earth. We have a body with all its members, a body with its life that has been given to us by God. That body needs sustenance. It is true that we are not only body. The teaching of evolution, the false teaching that's promoted in the public schools of our land, will be taught to students in those schools this school year, and even in many Christian schools, is in error. We are not animals who have only a body, but in distinction from the animals, we have also a soul. Not only are we related to the earth, earthy, but we are related to things heavenly and spiritual, and to our heavenly Father, to whom we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Moses teaches that to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, when he says to them, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Oh yes, not by bread alone. There's another dimension to our existence that will be covered in petitions 5 and 6. Not by bread alone, but by bread nonetheless. Bread for our bodies. That's the request in the fourth petition. Bread. By making our request for bread, the Lord is limiting our request to those things that we need. We are not taught in the fourth petition to pray for the luxuries of earthly life. Riches, a diversified investment portfolio, a mansion in which to live, expensive jewelry to wear, lots of toys with which to play, boats and planes and snowmobiles and exotic vacations. He doesn't teach us in the fourth petition to pray for steak or for prime rib or for twice-baked potatoes, or for apple pie and Cold Stone ice cream. But the Lord limits the petition to bread. Now, don't mistake what I am saying this morning. God certainly does bestow upon men riches, the good things of this earth in an abundance that may very well be the will of God. But that's not what we are taught to pray for. Though God may be pleased to answer our prayer for bread by giving us bread, and then a whole lot else besides, that's on Him. But our request is limited just to bread. I would add that that doesn't rule out either that if it is the will of God to bestow riches, those upon whom God wills to bestow those riches may certainly enjoy those riches. Absolutely. While recognizing that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, while recognizing that God calls them to be a steward of those riches, to use them first, yes, legitimately for one's own enjoyment, but first for God, His glory, His cause, His church in the world. What He teaches us in the fourth petition is that we may not set our heart upon riches. Jesus' word in Mark 10, verse 25, remains true. In every age, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And then when the people were amazed at Jesus' statement, He added these words, "But what is impossible with men is possible with God." And the scriptures themselves show that this is true, that there are those who are rich in the things of this world who are saved by the grace of God. Abraham, Solomon, Joseph of Arimathea, Philemon, the master of the slave, Onesimus. That clearly was one aspect of the sin of the children of Israel in Numbers 11. They set their heart on the things of this earth. They set their heart on things divorced from God, the giver of those things, things for their own sake. And we're all inclined to that same sin. Whether we're rich, whether we're middle class, whether we're poor, it's always a danger that we set our heart, live our lives motivated by the getting of things, of riches, for their own sake. That this belonged to Israel's sin is plain from the description of their sin in Numbers 11. In Numbers 11, verses 4 and 5, "And the mixed multitude that was them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks, the onions and the garlic." And in verse 34, "And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, the graves of the lusters." They lusted. Their sin was the sin of lust. It wasn't the sin of lusting after, wanting, desiring. That's what lust is. Things that in themselves were wrong. Sometimes that's the way We are guilty of lusting. They desire food. Nothing wrong with food in itself. Leeks and garlics and melons and cucumbers. But they desired those things in themselves. They set their heart on those things. They weren't interested in the use of those things for the glory of God. But they wanted those things for their own sake, for themselves, the satisfaction of their own desire and their own taste buds. They were not satisfied with what God gave them, manna. They wanted more. They lusted after something else than that which God was pleased to give them. Bread, that's the fourth petition. That's the basic necessities of our earthly life. That's what bread stands for in the fourth petition. Now, surely the idea of the fourth petition is not bread only. Not that. It includes bread, but it includes much more than bread. If all that we receive from God is bread, we're going to die. We need more. But even then, the petition is limited to our needs. Bread in the fourth petition stands for our needs, what is necessary for our earthly life. The petition includes money, not piles of money, not a large bank account, but enough money to put food on my table, to pay my Christian school tuition this year, and to support the cause of God's kingdom. Bread includes shelter. Shelter from the elements. A home. A modest dwelling. Not a mansion. We don't pray in the fourth petition for a mansion of a house. I live in a mansion. When I go to Mexico, South Korea, other places, I live in a mansion. In the fourth petition, we're praying for shelter from the elements, a roof over our head. We're praying for clothing to cover the nakedness of our bodies and also to be a protection from both the heat and the cold. Not designer clothing, not name brand clothing, probably not even brand new clothing. With all the secondhand stores that we have in this area, we have a glut of opportunities to clothe ourselves at next to nothing or very little. That's what we're praying for in the fourth petition. The fourth petition includes a job. We need money to put bread on our table, to purchase a home, to clothe the members of our family. A job. Not the highest paying job, perhaps. Certainly not a union job, but a job at which we make a wage sufficient for our needs. It includes transportation. How do I get to my job? In the day and age in which we live, we need transportation. A car. We don't need the latest model vehicle. A luxury vehicle, but a car with four wheels, transportation to get us from point A to point B. That's what we're praying for in the fourth petition. This is reinforced by the word daily in the petition. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not the case that this day and daily in the fourth petition mean the same thing. Daily really repeats the idea of this day. It doesn't. There isn't any repetition in the Lord's Prayer. Every word and every phrase is significant. Daily really means sufficient. That which is sufficient for me at this time in my life. Sufficient or necessary at this moment under my present circumstances. That's daily bread. The idea of daily is that my need for bread changes. It's not the same. It's not the same from one day to another day. My need for bread as a little boy growing up, as a teenager, my need for bread as a married man, a couple, and then with a large family, and now my need on the verge of retirement, when at the big kitchen table in our dining room there sits two older people only, my wife and myself. Our circumstances change from year to year. The idea of daily is that the children of God living in different parts of the world and under different circumstances have a different need for bread. A single person has a different need than a married couple. A married couple, a different need than a couple with a large family. Somebody who is sick, old, failing, has a different need for bread than the young man or the young woman in the strength of youth. A different need, we who live in the United States, in a peaceful land, different from the saints, the Christians, living in the Ukraine. And my need for bread is different than someone living in Hawaii or someone living in the cold of Alaska. Geography enters in here. Give us this day the bread that is sufficient for us in our present circumstances. That's daily bread. But the fourth petition is not a petition only for bread. The fourth petition is a petition for bread and God's blessing. Bread with blessing. This is a very important part of the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50. I call your attention to that. Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee as the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, that's next week, our care and industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. The Heidelberg Catechism distinguishes between God's gifts and his blessing. Gifts we pray for, bread accompanied by God's blessing. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 104. What do we pray for in the fourth petition In the fourth petition, which is give us this day our daily bread, we pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion. There's that idea of daily bread, a competent portion of the good things of this life, and enjoy His blessing with them. That's the fourth petition. This was where Martin Luther began in the prayer that he recommended to Master Peter the Barber, based on the fourth petition. When you pray the fourth petition, he wrote to Master Peter, give us this day our daily bread. Say this: Dear Lord, God and Father, grant us thy blessing also in this temporal and physical life. Luther began with God's blessing. The rest doesn't matter if it's not accompanied by God's blessing. Then I might add that Luther recommended prayer for the emperor and prayer for their prince, the local ruler, Frederick the Wise, so that they would enjoy peace and be able to pursue their earthly callings while being protected from the threats of enemies. And then Luther concludes his recommended prayer with these words: Grant to every estate, that is to every vocation, that's the sermon next week, whether townsmen, merchants, or farmer, to be diligent and to display charity and loyalty toward each other. Give us favorable weather and a good harvest. I commend to thee my house and property, my wife and children. Grant that I may manage them well, supporting and educating them as a Christian should. Defend us from the destroyer and all his wicked angels who would do us harm and mischief in this life. Notice that the answer to the catechism makes a clear distinction between God's gifts and his blessing. The gifts cannot profit us without the blessing. God's gifts are one thing, his blessing another. That's very important. We must distinguish clearly between gifts and grace, food and favor, bread and blessing. Those who teach the error of common grace make a serious mistake. They wrongly identify God's gifts with his blessing. They're one and the same, they teach. And since all men receive God's good gifts, well then, they all receive his grace. Grace is common, they teach. It isn't limited to the elect. It isn't limited to those redeemed in the blood of the cross. God is gracious to all men, at least in this life. Bread equals blessing. Gifts equal grace. And that, the catechism says, is not true. God gives to many people his good gifts, not even just the necessities of earthly life, in abundance. He gives those good gifts, nothing wrong with God's gifts, to wicked men who do not use those gifts to God's glory. Those gifts are not accompanied by his blessing. They are not. And that was the case with many in Israel, according to Numbers 11. God gave them the meat they lusted after, He gave them an abundance of quails, thousands of quails. But he gave them his good gift in his wrath and judgment. That's Numbers 11, verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of God was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. The teaching of the Catechism is what I impress upon the young people in Catechism by using this example. A farmer buys a turkey and he feeds that turkey the best grain so that that turkey grows. He puts him in a very nice pen. Give special attention to him. He grows up to be a big fat turkey. Why? Why does the farmer do that? Because he likes that turkey? Or because on Thanksgiving Day, he's going to butcher him and his family is going to feast on him? That's exactly what God does with the good gifts that he gives to the wicked. He's not doing it out of love and grace. He does it because he's fattening them for the day of slaughter, leaving them inexcusable in the judgment. Read Psalm 37. Read Psalm 73. Just switch the numerals. 37 and 73 this week, and see the truth of that. He's fattening them for the day of slaughter. This is the concern at bottom of the fourth petition, God's blessing. This is what we're praying for in the fourth petition. What child here this morning would be satisfied to go home to eat the best meal of the week, pot roast or steak and potatoes and green beans and sweet corn with pie and ice cream for dessert, but sit at that table with parents or grandparents who did not love him or her, resented him, abused him, neglected him? How could he ever enjoy such a meal? It's your parents' love for you that makes all the difference this afternoon, children and young people. You can sit down. You can enjoy a Sunday meal because you're sitting at a table with a father and mother who love you. That's the way it is with the fourth petition, which begins, "Not give us this day our daily bread." That's not the fourth petition. "Our Father, who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread." His fatherly love, his fatherly countenance smiling down upon us. That's what we crave. Clearly related to one of the important questions this issue is, why do we pray? As we've seen, God gives food and good gifts to the wicked who never pray. He gives food to beasts who cannot pray. Why is it God's will that we pray daily for our daily bread? Undoubtedly, because it belongs to God's will that we learn to live out of the hand of God. What would it be like if once a year, let's say on January 1, the new year, we pray, give us this day our daily bread for the whole year. That's it. And then for 364 days, we never had to pray it again. Come the next new year, once again. Well, we'd forget about the fundamental truth of Lord's Day 50, that we must acknowledge Him to be the fountain of all good. If we didn't pray daily for bread, we'd forget about that. We'd forget about it. That we eat because God's hand opens wide to provide for us. It isn't Costco or Aldi's or Meijer's or D&W or the Walmart superstore. It's God who gives us our daily bread. And then, if you pray the third petition, you must be sincere and not hypocritical. And here's the test. Here's the test. What if God did answer your prayer exactly as you have prayed it? What if God gave you not the delicacies of Egypt that the children of Israel lusted after, but what if He gave you just daily bread? Bread and water, which may be the case someday when it's His will that you're in prison for your faith. But accompanied by His blessing, will you be content with what God has provided? Content with how much He's provided? By God's grace, you will. Like every petition that he prays, the child of God prays the fourth petition confidently. The confidence comes out in the very wording of the petition. It's an imperative. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not an obnoxious imperative of the spoiled child who ought to have a spanking. Gimme, gimme. Who takes things from his playmates. Not that. But it's the quiet confidence of a child who knows the love and care of his father. Give us this day our daily bread. The child of God is confident, first of all, that God will hear his prayer. He'll give him his earthly needs. He's able and he's willing because he is our heavenly Father. That confidence is rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ. For don't you know, we don't deserve a crumb of bread or a drop of water because we're sinners, guilty sinners. The petition for our daily bread too. Not just the forgiveness of our sins and deliverance from the power of evil, but for bread is rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ. Especially when we consider that it isn't just bread that we're asking for. It's bread with blessing. This is the peace and confidence of believing parents in the church. who may be going through hard times. The world today is preventing the birth of children, killing, aborting children after they're conceived. And one of the reasons that's given is that they will not be able to feed and clothe these children. The world's resources are being depleted by overpopulation. And that's a lie. Overpopulation is a myth. Our ability to produce food outstrips the growth of the population every single year. But apart from that, we have a heavenly Father in whom we trust. We're confident that He will feed and clothe the children He's given to us. He'll provide the tuition money. He'll provide for the bills that need to be paid. Doesn't mean that everything is always going to be easy. But then, as always, we live by faith. Finally, although we trust God, our Heavenly Father, for the supply of our earthly needs, this doesn't mean, you mustn't go away with the idea this morning that we will never lack from our point of view, that we'll never be needy. God may very well bring hardship and lack into our lives. A poor economy, the loss of a job, the hardship of persecution. He's done that in the past. And we know what the future holds for the Church of Jesus Christ. But even then, when God sends hard times, the child of God is confident that he has his daily bread. He has the confidence that the portion that he has is exactly the right portion. He has the confidence that the portion that he has is God's will for him. He's confident that God has distributed this amount of bread to him in order that he may hallow God's name, seek his kingdom, and do his will. And then, praying the fourth petition, we subject all the petitions to the will of God. And therefore, in prosperity, we can be thankful. In adversity, patient. And as far as the future is concerned, not fretful, doubting, and filled with worry, because we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. Amen. Lord our God, we thank Thee for Thy goodness to us, not only in the salvation of our souls, but in the care of our bodies and the provision for our earthly life. Impress the truth of Thy word upon us this morning and send us home rejoicing. For Jesus' sake, amen.